Hello and welcome to this episode of the University Guide podcast. I'm David Hawkins, an international university applications consultant based in England and part of the global team of college counsellors of Syzygy Global Education. In the midst of the craziness of application season 2018, I decided to stick closer to home for this episode. For a number of years, I've crossed paths with one of the UK's most respected university and careers advisors. Hearing his talks at conferences and grabbing him for snatched conversations around the fringes of events. On hearing that this might very well be his final year in the field, I decided that I had to grab him for a longer chat. So here is my interview with the careers guru himself.
I'm here now with Alan Bullock. For those who don't know, Alan is an incredibly experienced and highly regarded careers advisor. We've had a lovely lunch. We're in Sherburn. We're dodging the rainstorms as happens in England, but it's worth having a chat with Alan to see his perspective on things. So Alan, thank you very much for your time.
It's a pleasure.
So Alan, tell a little bit about yourself. How did you get into being the sort of expert in UK careers and university education?
Probably because I've been there such a long time. So, I've been 40 years and a bit now in careers, and the amazing thing is I've got to love it as much as I always did. And it's, you just kind of build knowledge and experience, and perhaps most of all, contacts and knowledge of places and people, and somehow you never lose it. You just build it and build it, and
absolutely,
you know, you learn day after day after day. You know, it's I was doing some talks yesterday, and I did five talks in a school yesterday, and by the fifth talk I kind of learned some new things that I was bringing in to the fifth talk that I didn't bring into the first talk.
Yeah.
So it's so you're constantly learning stuff, and it's such an interesting area, and I kind of love working with kids at that sort of, yeah. And A-level students, BTEC level 3 students, those sort of students, IB students, you know, they're kind of the students I love working with.
Yeah, and I think I probably first met you, Alan, heard you speak at a UCAS conference 6 or 7 years ago now, giving the talk I think you were probably then best known for, which is the options talk of all the many different things students can do. I guess that passion for letting students know that there are things out there they never thought of is part of the driving reason behind your passion for this.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a private client I had 2-3 years ago who was at quite a prominent sixth form college, and I was talking through all these options with her, and at the end of our discussion she said, why isn't anybody telling us about all this? And I thought then, you know, that just sort of reassured me that this is what people still need.
Yeah.
And I still find it. And having gone sort of freelance about 7 years ago after I left working full-time in a sixth form college, I've got a little bit more time to keep on top of that sort of stuff now and try and keep on top of the research. Research is it's not research as much, it's just trying to keep on top of things really. And I just feel so strongly that students need to know these things, and schools were the best one in the world, and colleges, it's not always easy for them to keep on top of it themselves.
Absolutely. So there's been a lot of changes in the university advising sector in the last couple of years. What do you find the most students and careers advisors interested in when you go and visit them at schools? What are the sort of hot topics that keep coming up?
I think it's a bit of everything. Clearly at the moment there's the whole issue of degree apprenticeships and higher apprenticeships, and actually, where I've created a little bit of a kind of opportunity for myself is having some understanding of what these things actually are and what the pros and cons of them are, because more and more people are aware of them, but not everybody actually really understands what is a degree apprenticeship and what does it actually involve and what does it require of you. So being able to sort of convey that kind of thing, but conveying it, I'll do a talk in 40 minutes that tries to kind of give an overview of all that and at least gives a taste of what the pros and cons of some of these options are. I think students seem to quite appreciate that.
Yeah.
So at least somebody's told them, and then if they want to find out more, I'll help them know where to look as well.
Sounds good. I mean, degree apprenticeships might be a relatively new concept for some of the international listeners of the podcast. Do you mind sort of giving the brief overview of what is a degree apprenticeship and why might students consider it?
I suppose what it isn't is somebody paying you to go off and have a lovely time at university.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the sort of the first sort of misconception that a few people might have. But the reality is that an employer is taking you on as a salaried apprenticeship, and quite often on a pretty good salary as well. Through various means, usually on the basis of 4 days a week working, 1 day a week studying, you will obtain a degree through a university, through a specific university. Yeah. But the means through which you'll study for that degree can be quite varied. It's often through blended learning, which is mainly distance learning of a kind. Occasionally it will be actually taking you might actually spend some time in the university, and it could be 2 days a week, it could be a day a week. I mean, there's all sorts of models of what a degree apprenticeship is.
What are the ones that you find most attractive when you give these talking schools? What are the kind of the buzzy ones that students are keen to know about?
I mean, one of the key things is what are they in?
Yeah.
And of course, where the big area is digital, and that's where probably at least 50% of all of them at the moment are in that digital field. So that's part of the issue, I think, is that there will be some students who are potentially going to be really interested in these because they happen to be in the field that they have actually got some potential to go into themselves, where there's all sorts of other areas where they're with the best one in the world will perhaps never be degree apprenticeships. So I think partly the people that are particularly interested are those that are interested in the kind of careers which can quite often be the careers where there are shortages, where people are needed. There's a sort of market forces there thing, to a certain extent. But I think the thing is, there's a certain kind of student that's going to be interested in a degree apprenticeship who is ready at 18 to get into a really professional situation where there's a lot of pressure on them. It's not an easy ride by any means. There's a lot of pressure on them. There was a guy that I met who was on a degree apprenticeship with CGI, and he actually said, he basically said, you've got to be very driven.
Right.
But there are certain students that are absolutely ready for that at 18, and who have also got the skills at that age that they can actually go through the selection processes that these things are going to present them with, before when they apply.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I think, you and I, when we always speak, Alan, we're doing similar jobs, but in slightly different worlds. And your background, you said, is working in sixth form colleges and state schools. And my background has come out of the private and the international sector. But I think where we kind of agree with this and have a shared output is fit, about helping young people find something that's right for them.
Yes.
And thankfully, we didn't record this conversation when we were having lunch, but we were moaning about various schools where we know that actually there is a pressure to go to a certain image of university and only certain universities. And anyone who wants to read my LinkedIn articles on this can see me moaning, but I won't do it on the podcast.
Yeah.
How do you find that, Alan, when you are going into some schools and you cover the whole gamut of the different types of schools in the UK, to get over to not just students, but potentially parents and probably worse, staff and administrators at schools, that actually a traditional English quote-unquote Russell Group education is not actually necessarily the best pathway for students?
I mean, that probably is the kind of whole theme of the talks that I give.
Right.
I'm completely impartial. I'm trying to present all the different options. And I think that is, I'm not sure I might even start to use the word fit.
Yes.
Because I do use that in sort of in guidance quite a lot. I learned that word from you, the best fit. It's great. But I think that is exactly what I'm trying to do, is to say, look, here are all the options. Which one's the best for you?
Yeah.
And there are certain schools I go into which have got sort of had a very traditional approach, where as soon as they've heard me presenting these options, I'm seeing a real interest in new areas that students haven't been interested in before.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to challenge it in a constructive sort of way.
Yes.
Parents are probably often the biggest obstacle. I don't mind what she does as long as it's a Russell Group University kind of.
Yes.
Countering that is something that I've been doing for many years, perhaps.
It is a challenge,
But you do it in a constructive way, and you sort of say, well, here are the other options. There's a lovely quote I use from Goldman Sachs, who said, we I think it's something along the lines that, we are trying to convince parents that that an apprenticeship is not a second-class route into a career.
Yeah.
And I've got that on one of my slides.
Goldman to say that, I always find one of the great ironies of the work that you and I and lots of careers advisors and college counsellors do is that by their very definition, parents are a generation out of date.
Yeah, That's it. But I mean, again, you've got, you know as well as I do, that you've got, you know, the majority of students have got very supportive parents who will work with them and who are open to this. But you'll also meet some where, yeah, there's some, I mean, you know, at the other extreme, there's, I've never forgotten the student I met who said, well, I want to be a doctor. Or at least I've been conditioned into wanting to be a doctor. So you've got the, that's the other extreme.
It is, it's not nature or nurture, it's nature via nurture.
Exactly. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, one of the reasons you and I were meeting up today is, you know, the old joke that I've heard you say a number of times, that this is my farewell tour, that actually this year may be in many ways your farewell tour.
Well, yeah, I put it out on social media sort of at the start of every year that this is the start of my sort of farewell tour, and I think this is my sixth farewell tour now.
There we go. You're in the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, that's it. And I think, I mean, you know, we've talked about it, both of us, that I don't think, in fact, I had this conversation yesterday. I was talking in, I did five talks yesterday to year 11s in all the schools around Andover. Had a lovely day. I was working with Peter Mulligan from SACU.
Yep.
And one of the questions I put to them is, at what age do you think you'll retire? And it was really interesting responses came back, you know, 30, 70, 104.
Yes.
The teachers who were present came out with, you know, one of them said sort of 90 or something. And so, you know, people's retirement ages now are sort of, it's completely changed, I think, from over the last few years. And I think, I mean, don't tell my wife, but I don't think I'll ever actually retire.
Yeah, it's on the podcast, Alan. She's going to hear it. Yeah. Point.
but I think, you know, a couple of mornings ago, I had to get up and catch the 5:22 a.m. train to Birmingham to give a talk. You know, I think I'm getting to an age now where that's pushing it a little bit. And it's not just the speaking, it's the actual, all the preparation and the research, which is, you know, I don't think people realise, and I'm sure you're the same, the amount of constant research that goes on to try and keep your talks up to date and to keep your knowledge up to date. You know, there's a limit how long you can do that. So I think it's just a case of, you know, I'm not going to stop going out there altogether, but you know, sort of slow down a little tiny bit.
I hope so. Yes. Well, when it gets to me there, I think so. I think someone needs to complete the sentence, careers counsellors never retire, they just...
Yes.
Whatever it is.
So on they just slightly change the kind of approach that they take.
There we go. It goes online.
Yeah.
In all the times of doing this, though, and you've obviously been through so many different iterations of universities and polytechnics and post-92s and the right of study abroad, which is obviously my specialism, apprenticeships, degree apprenticeships, and all these kind of things. Is there, you know, one or two developments that kind of stand out in recent times where you think, you know what, this is something that's a real positive for the sector and for the students that we work with?
That's quite a hard one to answer. The answer I'll give is probably the answer to a different question.
Fair enough.
I think that I tell you what I have found. I think the whole point is that it's about change. You know, I mean, what we're doing in a way is I think we are, I think that's why we're quite important actually, because we're the people that are seeing all this change going on and actually informing people about it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people kind of quite realise the amount of change that has taken place. And it has been pretty constant actually.
Yes.
It has changed over the years. But having said that, I don't know that it's ever changed quite as fast as it's changing now.
Right.
And I think it's not just the kind of structure of, you know, HE and all that that's changing. It's also the whole world of work is changing. I've got a slide of, you know, 16 things that are changing your working world that EY produced last year. And I quite like it. And it's, you know, there's going to be drastic changes over the next few years to what these young people are doing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm trying to present to youngsters, I think, is that the nature of jobs they're going into are now changing quite substantially. Whole industries are being disrupted.
Yes.
To quote Capgemini, I think you said that recently. And I think that's the big thing now, is the whole disruption of the economy and the changes that I think young people are going to need to be able to adapt to.
So how do we help young people to prepare for that kind of future?
Well, actually, what amazed me yesterday, I mean, I was literally talking to all these year 11s across all the schools around Andover, and I was telling them this stuff. And at the start of my talk, I thought, blimey, is this, you know, are they going to get this? Are they going to understand what I'm talking about? But actually, you know, there was, we talked to probably 400 students during the day, and they really listened. They seemed to be really, I mean, you know, we talked to them for an hour. You know, they sat there for an hour and listened to this stuff.
Yeah.
And, okay, you know, we got them involved. We were interactive with them. But actually, I do think they want to know about this.
Yeah.
They do want to know how this is all going to affect them. Because if there's one thing young people are really, really interested in, it's what's going to happen to me.
Yes, true. I guess they're digital natives. They've grown up with all this kind of stuff. They're used to, you know, being able to order things on apps and all these kind of things. So,
but they don't necessarily see how that's actually going to change the kind of jobs that they do.
Right.
And I think that really came across to me yesterday, is that I noticed some of the things I was saying about some sort of, you know, new kinds of jobs that are coming in now.
Yeah.
They were really focused. They were really interested. They were really, really listening.
Fascinating. Observant listeners will have worked out that Alan and I sit next to a station at the moment. The train's fast. So we had a very nice lunch in Sherburn and found a quiet spot to do the recording.
Yeah. Can I say as well, the other sort of answer I was going to give to that as well is the one thing that's been constant through all this is that somehow there's something about young people at that age of 15, 16, 17, 18. I love these kids somehow. And there's a passion to know and find out. And you know, yesterday was just a joy working with all these year 11s. And, you know, some of them came up afterwards and said, thank you so much. And I thought, you know, it was the same 40 years ago. You know, I think, you know, I love working with these young people because actually they really, really want help from people like us.
Yeah. I mean, something you and I have touched on before, and the more I've stepped into the international scene of understanding that the post-secondary guidance, helping students with university, with jobs, with degree apprenticeships and things is a serious profession where there's a real need for advisors to do this work. I just spent time in India in the summer, part of the IC3 discussions over there. It's trying to put careers counsellors into every school in India. How do you see the scene in the UK now? Obviously, you and I are in demand to go into school to give talks to help students on it, but is there still that pressing need for UK schools to be better at helping students decide what they want to do after their secondary school finishes?
Yeah, not half. It's absolutely. And it's so fragmented out there. I mean, right. I've never known so much fragmentation as there is now. But I sense that it's turned.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody's starting to realise how important the need is. Mm-hmm. And I don't think young people ever stopped feeling how important this is.
Yeah.
It's just, I think there's you know, young people that aren't getting their help probably don't realise what they're not getting. In fact, it reminds me of a student that I from the college I used to work at, who she left us, went off to Leicester University. I've never forgotten it. And she came back during her first year and said, you know what, she said, it's not until I got to university that I realised how helpful the advice we got from you was.
Wow.
Because I assumed everybody got that.
Yeah, it's a sad situation that
it is,
people
actually
don't realise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I quite often come back to the quote, which I don't know whether it was originally Donald Rumsfeld, the former US Secretary of State, or he copied it from someone else, but you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly, yes.
And
exactly
fundamentally, right. I think that's the skill and the need of, yes, you know, and you and I were saying over lunch, students can get to UK universities kind of by default because the system kind of happens for you, but are they going to the right university for the right course? Yeah. Should they be going to university at all? And I think that's the passion you and I share for helping those students.
Yes, it's easy to show a set of destination statistics that said, yeah, all our kids got onto their first... I see this a lot.
Yes.
All our students got into their first choice university. 90%, I think I've seen this quite recently, in the last few days. You know, 90% of our students got into their first choice university.
Yeah.
What does that actually mean?
Yeah. I agree.
First choice in what sense?
Yeah.
And actually, is university the right place? Yeah. And is UK the right place? Or should they actually be doing something different that they weren't actually aware of?
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the successes I feel from looking back at the last year is working with a family who were thinking that their son wants to go to universities in the US, didn't really understand the process, came on to work with me as a client, and over a course of a couple of hours of discussions realised that he wasn't suited to it. They didn't really know that he wasn't suited to it. They'd made assumptions about how university worked in America that aren't true. And yes, they paid me a little bit for my time, but by spending that, they hadn't wasted huge amounts of money and effort on pursuing something that was completely wrong for their child. And I think the more that people like you and I are able to be accessible by families like that, who can say that we don't know anything about this, can you engage with us for a little bit and get that really important information, the better those students' outcomes are going to be.
And be able to afford it.
Quite.
And perhaps the ultimate is get into a position where schools have a statistic that they put out that says 95% of our students ended up getting the right fit.
That's the way to go. Alan, it's a pleasure as always to speak to you. I'm conscious that you and I are both on a bit of a schedule today. For listeners who don't know Alan, Alan is a fantastic resource and available to work with schools and with students. I know he's saying he's stepping back, but I'm sure he'll be interested in some projects. Alan, if any of my listeners do want to get hold of you, where do you exist on email? Where do you exist on social media so people can reach out?
I'm alanbullockcareers.com, and I'm careersguru at hotmail.co.uk, which I made up about 30 years ago, and I'm embarrassed by it, but never quite got round to changing it.
Fantastic. Great stuff. Alan, thank you so much for your time.
It's a pleasure.
As I'm sure you can hear, Alan and I get on like a house on fire, as we see eye to eye on so many matters. It was a great privilege to spend time together discussing so many varied aspects, not only on the podcast, but perhaps more indiscreetly, over our lunch beforehand. As well as the contact details that he gave, Alan is a keen user of Twitter on @AlanCareersGuru, which is well worth a follow. That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Please do get in touch if you are in need of some university guidance. My contact details are online at hawkingsglobaleducation.com. And do follow this podcast for more episodes. And to all my college counsellor listeners out there at this really busy time of year, happy writing.